MZTV.
I am still at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, but I'm also at the edge of a shopping plaza here in Fort Lauderdale. I'm not in my own car. I'm in the car of a visitor, someone who came all the way down here from Wisconsin in order to have a spiritual chat with me. And it is Dwayne Pence from, where the hell are you from?
Menominee, Wisconsin, presently. Formerly from East St. Paul. So I know the street.
East St. Paul. That's a tough, St. Paul, Minnesota, that's a tough town, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I got some good stories about that, too.
I'm sure you got some good stories. But what the stories we're going to get from you today is about your spiritual upbringing, or maybe, as it were, your non-spiritual upbringing, and how you came about to travel all this way to talk to a guy who believes the same way you do. People would say, why can't you get fellowship in Wisconsin? Why do you have to drive all the way to Florida to find spiritual fellowship, right? People think you're crazy. That's what they say when you go to conferences. When people tell their friends, oh, by the way, Dwayne is going to be at the Kansas City conference. But people have told me, Dwayne, at conferences, their friends will say, why do you drive all the way to Kansas City or to wherever you're going for fellowship? You got churches right down the road. They don't understand. They don't understand that you have to go out of your way. So you went out of your way. So what brought you here?
Martin Zinder brought me here.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That is... Like, there are so few of us. How did you find Martin Zinder, by the way?
Because I started with Jones and Gary Emmer.
Stephen Jones. Yeah, I know Stephen Jones.
I used to go to meetings Stephen Jones had in... They were over the U of M. In fact, we used a University of Minnesota building.
That's right. He's from Minnesota. Where is it? Fridley?
He's from Fridley, and he had an office over in Fridley, and I stalked him and found out where he was, and I tracked him down at work and kind of tricked him and came in and talked to him. But I didn't trick him. I just didn't tell him that he knew me from his talks, that
right.
He didn't recognize me from Adam. There were lots of people at his meetings.
Oh, he had regular meetings up there.
Once a month. Yeah.
Now, I've heard of Stephen Jones. In fact, I taught with him one time at a church up in Detroit, but now he doesn't see Paul's message at all. In fact, he's a big-time Israel guy, right?
Yes.
But you were once a big-time Israel guy.
Yep, big time.
Yeah, tell us how... I want to know, like, how deep were you into the Israel message? And did Stephen Jones have anything to do with that? And what made you get out of that and discover Paul? Because we're talking two different gospels here.
Yeah, well...
Gospel of the Israel, the gospel of the nations.
Yeah, so... When I found Stephen Jones was just off, just away from the norm enough to attract me, because I was looking away. I knew growing up that the most of the shit was wrong. I didn't know why everybody believed it. It's like, well, so there's things that I just knew I didn't believe in.
And right.
I didn't necessarily know why I didn't believe in them. I just thought it was bullshit. So, anyway, I looked into things. When I realized, you know, I'm different and I got to look into this thing, and I didn't know why I'm looking into it. Now I know. I never had a choice anyway. God made me look into it.
Yeah.
Because because we're the body of the Christ, body of Christ, and there's nobody else like us. We're really weird, and we seek out things that other people just don't see the importance of. And we don't know why we find it important. It's kind of like that scene from Aliens. What was the first movie with...
Sigourney Weaver?
No, not... Yeah, that was Aliens. It wasn't Aliens. It was something from the... It was the one where he goes to the plateau thing that looks like...
I don't know. I'm old school. I'm like Creature from the Black Lagoon.
I'm old school. This is an old school.
Those are my days. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh, what was the actor's name, if I could say his name? Richard Dreyfuss played the main character.
Good call. Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Thank you. Okay, I'm impressed myself. Why did they bring that up? Now I've lost.
I don't know. Why did you bring that up? Because we're from outer, or we're heading to outer space?
No.
Because you're attracted to other worlds besides this one?
No, because he...
Because you're strange? Because you play with your mashed potatoes?
Because he was, like, going crazy because it was, like, he knew something that they didn't know, and he... There was no way he could explain it to him, and no matter how hard he tried.
He was going crazy. He was playing with his mashed potatoes, making exactly. Devil's Tower.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm playing with mashed potatoes.
Yeah, you are playing with your mashed potatoes, man. So I think what I'm hearing from you is God calls the unwise weak, ignoble, and stupid, and you might not be the exception to that rule, like me. You might be the...
I fit right into that.
You fit right into that mold.
I was the kid that at church... You could hear me running around in the attic during church service because I had no desire to sit there and sing stupid hymns. And
so you would run up, you would go into the attic during church service. This is great. I want to explore this a little bit. This is one of the best things you can do during church is escape it. And you went up to the ceiling, and what did you do?
I found out where the secret ladder was that went up there. No, none of the kids were even supposed to know about it, but of course I found the secret way.
Of course, yeah.
And I invited people to come up there with me, and I go, you guys should see this shit. I mean, I go up there during, and they're like, you go up there during church. And I'm like, yeah, but you got to be super quiet because they could hear you. If we went up there and started laughing and giggling,
we'd
be busted and we'd never be able to go there again. And I'm like, you guys wouldn't believe the shit up there.
Oh my
there
gosh.
Used to be an old part of our church up there that nobody's ever seen. It's been sealed off for centuries or decades anyway. Probably more like decades, but maybe a century. That's how old this area is.
That's where they keep the bodies of disobedient parishioners who have gone against the church, the church line.
Yeah, so it was so fun, and we'd go up there and we'd spend the whole church service up there, and we'd explore, and then we'd make sure we were out of there and quietly put that secret ladder back up in there. And then it was
I thank God for that today, because that might be the thing that saved you. That might be the thing that saved you. So you're right. Nobody can accuse Stephen Jones of being a normie.
No, I didn't do it for Stephen Jones. Wasn't my pastor.
No, I know this was before that, but But you were attracted to Stephen Jones, and I can see why, because he's out there. He's not your standard issue Christian.
Right.
He's more off the deep end, but he's all Israel. He doesn't see anything about Paul. He doesn't see justification. He thinks you have to make yourself holy. And so, all right, let's go back to the Israel question. What made you realize that, hey, maybe I'm not an Israelite? But first, explain to me why you were happy to be an Israelite, or you thought you were an Israelite, or want to be Israelite.
Okay, well, every good Christian believes that, well, not every one of them, but some of them go down this kind of tangent road or whatever that leads them to believe that somehow they're actually an Israelite.
Yeah.
But because it's not physical, it's not in our blood, it's a spiritual thing, because now everything is spiritual, everything is spiritual, everything is spiritual. You know, you got to go to church every Sunday, or you're kind of a bad one. You're slipping.
You didn't have to go on the Sabbath?
Well, I had to go on the Christian Sabbath.
Oh, the Christian Sabbath. Oh, that's a clever one.
Yeah. So that's Sunday now, because Jesus was resurrected on Sunday, which that's their belief. We don't have to go into that. We didn't even talk about it.
So Jesus was resurrected on the professional football day, not college football.
Correct.
Okay.
See, we never talked about that ahead of time, so I didn't even know if you'd be cool with this or not.
Oh, man, I'm cool with this.
All right. So they think 3 days is Friday, Saturday, and part of Sunday actually equals a whole day to a Christian.
Yes. Well, these are the people who think 1 + 1 + 1 = 1 from the Trinity. So, you know, that's the kind of math that they do.
Yeah, it's like acrobats or what... What do they call it? Acrobat? They have a term for that. Religious
weirdos, contortionists.
Yeah.
What do
that's
they do?
All right. It's all right.
Yeah, they hoop jumpers. No.
Yep. That's probably closer.
Gymnastics.
Thank you.
Yeah, religious gymnastics. Yeah. Yes, but they also jump through fiery hoops.
Well, most of them are going to have to, and they all admit that. Really, there's only a few of them that are going to make it there.
Right.
Those are the ones that
go
every Sunday. The ones that don't go every Sunday, there's a really good chance that they are missing the mark.
Yeah, they never know for sure. They don't have that wonderful knowledge that we have, that we're designated beforehand and we're sealed. They do not have the knowledge of being sealed. Now, remind me about Stephen Jones. Did he believe in the salvation of all?
No, I don't. No,
you didn't see it.
No. No.
So how in the world did you come to see that? So what was the driving force that got you out of that orbit?
At Stephen Jones' meeting, I met some other people.
Oh.
And they
interlopers.
Yeah, and they believed in something, but they refused to call it universalism.
What would they call it? If they didn't call it
they didn't call it anything.
Oh, that's, okay.
Because good. It didn't have a name, and so people always ask me, you know, what religion are you? And I'm like, that doesn't even ring a bell anymore.
No.
I don't even know what. Yeah. That's okay. What religion am I? Well, if religion is a bad word, I'm not a religion.
Right.
So,
and religion is a bad word.
Yeah, religion is a terrible word.
There's a Latin root there, lig, which means to tie or to bind.
I learned that from you.
And in the Greek, it's the word translated religious is the word diesi daimonia, which means dread demonism. That's what the word means in the Greek. Other than that, it's fine.
And I learned that from...
Okay, well, good. I'm glad you learned something from me. So,
lots of things from you.
Well, that's good. And how'd you find out that you were in the body of Christ?
I found out because it's almost like you don't find out. You just start going, you're looking around, you're going, okay. So I always knew that there was going to be this group of people that was kind of like going to culminate. Like they're going to all come together. Like, I don't know, like at the end of that movie,
you're going to test my movie knowledge again, and you're going to embarrass me in front of my whole audience here. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Which movie?
Although Highlander. Remember?
I didn't see that.
Okay. You probably did. It had, famous actor. He's still alive.
Oh, a famous actor. I know him.
He's played James Bond a couple times. He's probably the best James Bond of all of them.
Sean Connery.
Thank you. So Sean Connery
was ace in this.
Okay. Highlander.
Okay.
So Sean Connery played in the Highlander, and some other actor, I can't remember his name, but he was the Highlander. So basically, there's only so many Highlanders that exist in the whole world, and there's a time when they all have to culminate, and they actually fight with swords, and they have to literally cut each one's head off. They all meet at different times when it's coming to the end, and because there can only be one. That's the whole theme of the movie. There can only be one, and so you know that at the end... The two guys are going to have to meet, and they're going to have to fight, and somebody's going to lose their head.
Are you going to attempt to draw the analogy between that and the body of Christ, or should I attempt it?
Go for it, because...
I was afraid you were going to say that. All right, let's see. There's only so many members of the body of Christ.
That's
the first, that we're all strange. God's going to make sure we all get together, and we're going to culminate in... activity, or should I say a God action called the snatching away, and we're all going to have swords.
Well, there is
the sword of the spirit.
There's some heads that get cut off.
Heads are going to roll.
There
That's
is some
for
part
damn
about
sure.
You know, people losing their
ours.
Heads during.
But not ours. Not ours.
I know that.
Not,
but
not ours.
But there is some heads that are going to roll.
But they're going to roll in grace. They're going to roll in grace. I mean,
yeah,
we are going to
explain that. I don't know that you've ever explained that before. That might be a good one for you.
Well, all heads will roll. Well, I never quite put it that way.
Where it talks about in Revelation about the heads rolling.
Well, there are going to be people beheaded on the earth, but we're not part of that.
I understand that, but...
We're messengers of grace.
I know, and we probably shouldn't talk about it. Like, that's what I tell people. Why talk about shit that Paul didn't write about?
Right, but
if Paul didn't write it, what the...
But we're going to kill them with kindness. We're still going to deal death blow to these spiritual beings. But I mean, not literally, but we're going to break them down. I mean, that's what the lake of fire does for two eons.
Hey, can I pump my book a little bit?
It's going to
my book?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
But the lake of fire for the eons of the eons is going to break down Satan and the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And so it's going to take a lot to break down these spiritual forces. But there are other spiritual forces besides the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet. And so with the sword of the spirit, the word of God, we're going to deal metaphoric death blows to these egomaniac, evil spiritual beings. All right, so let's get off that movie now.
All right.
Okay, that was rough.
It might not have been the best.
That's all right. We made the best out of it.
But you did it like that's kind of, that was what I was thinking. We think alike, so I had no doubt you were going to do a perfect job, and you did a better job than
Thank
I could
you.
Have ever
done. Well, we do find out that we do think alike, because... Well, it goes with that member, that body of Christ thing. And so I don't know about you, but I discovered the grace.
Okay, so back
thing.
To the culmination.
Yes.
This is why we're together right now, because the culmination has begun.
Yes.
That we are beginning to culminate.
I like it.
Yeah.
And everybody listening to our voices right now likes the idea of the last.
If you're out there, If you're out there, there are others. You just, you met them.
Well, we like the idea that new members are coming into the body of Christ, and there is a last member. You're right about a limited number of people in the body of Christ, and we don't know who that last member is, but when that last member comes in, then...
And one thing, every single member that's in now and is coming in believes a few things in common that not everybody believes.
Yes.
And so it's the things that we don't agree on that you might have to think about in the, and I'll let Zender go to whichever one he wants to pick, because there's so many of them. I would probably pick the one, not the one that he would, and I want to have this commonality going.
Well, Stephen Jones, this is something that he would never understand. I'm sorry to say, if you're watching, Stephen, nothing against you personally, but none of the Israel people understand justification by faith. That is a grounding doctrine for us. It is the fact that God considers us to be righteous apart from works of law. I know Stephen Jones is all about works of law, and so we're unworthy of the grace that we have. And the way I found this message, Dwayne, is that I needed a message of complete grace, because I knew that apart from the pure grace of God, I couldn't attain to anything. So when I heard Paul's message, it was so radical. Where sin abounds, grace super exceeds. And justified by faith apart from works of law, seated among the celestials in Christ, designated beforehand for the place of his son, what can separate us from the love of God? I'm going, gospel's for me, man.
You go, boy.
And I read that, and when I realized that it clashed on purpose with the circumcision gospel.
Oh, hell.
It's like Stephen might be listening to this and going, gang on those things. But those things are the bedrock for us, and they
it was a stepping stone for me, so
it was necessary.
If Stephen is still there,
yes,
that's fine. We need them.
We need him.
God is using him. He is serving God.
Yes.
And anybody that's disagreeing with us right now is actually serving God, because God uses evil for his whatever he's trying to accomplish.
Correct.
And he's teaching me, and you know, right now a lot of people are being used for me and Zender. You know, I'm sorry, you know, that you're not we're not being used to teach you right now, but we will be after you help to teach us some really important things. And so you have to go down that road, and he needs you, we need you, and in the end we're all going to be just thrilled about what part we played in all of this.
Yes, we're going to come to a unity of the faith.
Yes.
And I want to mention one more name here. You mentioned Gary Amaral. He was the one, and Gary, also known as the Tent Maker. Many people listening to us right now, watching us, they came to the truths of universal salvation through Gary Amaral, otherwise known as the Tent Maker, or some through L. Ray Smith. So Gary Amaral, whom I met in 1994, we had a lot of differences, of course, but the salvation of all, he got down pat, and nobody was better on explaining it. So that's how you found out about the salvation of all, yeah?
Yep, correct. I found that out from Gary Amaral, and Gary Amaral was more like milk, like baby's milk. And I thought, when I saw Gary, what I was searching for, now I remember, you've made me remember, what I was always searching for is, how could I get my mom and dad to see this? So when I found Gary, it was like baby food. It was like, they could stomach this.
Yeah.
This guy is the most loving guy in the face of the earth. They could, and they didn't get it. Didn't get it. No.
Gee, I'm glad you didn't send them one of my videos.
No, right. So that's why I said he's baby food. Because what happened was, after a while, baby food wasn't enough. And one of the things you asked me was, how did I keep looking? Like, how did I go from Jones to Amaral to, you know, how I was growing, growing, growing. And this is God. So here's where I'm at. I'm at Zender. I tried to look past Zender. I thought Zender can't be the end. And I'm not saying he is, but what I will tell you is I've searched hard, and I'm using AI, and AI knows who he is. So I made AI read all of his books, so that I can ask AI questions about him, and AI knows him. So I'm learning. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh my goodness. I'm not sure how comfortable I am with that. AI knows me. I don't care. Well, we've used AI a couple times, but I'm not going to do it anymore. But God uses everything.
God uses me to use AI so I can share the benefits of AI with you, and then you don't have to do it. It's kind of like when in the police force, there's only certain people that have to look at the shitty pictures. Not everybody has to look at them, but they those people have to do that so that nobody else has to do that.
I see. God uses everything as a tool.
He does. He created it all. He created AI.
That's why we all have roles to play. You have your role. I have my role. Gary had his role. He's dead now, of course.
Yeah.
And Elroy Smith had his role. Stephen Jones has his role. And so
right.
It's a hell of a choreographed masterpiece down here on Earth. I'm thankful for those people. I'm thankful for Stephen Jones. And all these steps were necessary. And we go through to this truth in increments, man. Very few people are born into this, you know? I mean, we all started in a freaking yes. organized religion. I mean, you didn't start with Stephen Jones. You started within the Baptist church. I started in the Catholic church. How primitive is
attic,
that?
In the attic of the Baptist church.
Oh, my gosh. How primitive is that? So, but I'm thankful for them, too. Because you learned a contrast.
Right on, man.
We learned a contrast.
Mary Nance was a lot of fun going camping in the summer with all them Christians and everything. It was the funnest times of my life.
Except when you went up to the roof, up into the rafters of the church. That was the funnest time of your life.
Yeah.
In the rafters.
Yes, absolutely.
You scare the people.
Punching another kid in Sunday school right in the face.
Oh,
and getting kicked
out.
Nothing
like that.
And the punishment was...
How many prayers did you have to say, or did they flog you in front of everybody? What happened?
No, they punished me and kicked me out, and I got to be outside. I think they literally kicked me out, and I remember...
What kind of punishment is that? Kind of like Brer Rabbit. Whatever you do, don't throw me outside. Don't send me out. That was the best thing that could have happened to you, bro.
Oh, I loved it when he kicked me out. I'd be like, I earned a kick out again. Well, when I punched that kid, it wasn't to get kicked out. It was because I had my feet on a chair, and he thought that in church we shouldn't put our feet on chairs because we did. And he had this conversation with me before, so I wasn't supposed to. He wasn't supposed to like catch me ever doing that again. And he caught me doing it, so he pulled the chair up from underneath my feet, and I walked. I just took one step into him, and I leveled him right in Sunday school. It was so awesome. You could actually hear it, like in a movie, crack right into his face.
This channel does not condone punching people in the face. We do condone pulling chairs out from under people, but neither Martin Zander nor his affiliates approve of punching people in the face. However, in this instance, God used it.
Absolutely.
To send you off to the next level. And to send the person you punched off to the hospital. I don't know. But anyway, Dwayne.
He was crappy. Nobody really liked him.
Oh, okay. Well, nobody liked him. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Dwayne, I am so happy you came down to visit me. I'm flattered you would come all this way just to have this conversation. I'm the one that's honored that you're visiting the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula here. And everybody loves these interviews, bro. And you said you like them when you see them.
I love them.
Okay.
I look so forward. I love that, and I love the Zender Talks. Love Zender Talks.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, those are running on Sunday now.
I look so forward to them. I can't wait until you release them on Sunday morning. I sit there and I keep trying YouTube until, oh, they're good. There it is. I'll go to my mom and dad. It's on. You guys want to watch this one? And they're like, no, we don't. You're watching that guy.
Oh, no, not that guy.
Yeah,
just reminded me that I have to get home and edit Sunday's Zender Talk. I haven't done it yet. It's Saturday as I'm recording this. Saturday. Yeah, I got to go edit that show. But listen, people love hearing and talking to, learning about other members of the body of Christ, because the number one complaint, bro, that I hear is that people are lonely. They feel isolated.
Yes.
And so this technology helps bring them together. So I want to thank you for taking the time to answer these questions, to share your spiritual walk with us, to share how you hit people in the face with us, and to share your misadventures in the church ceiling. I love it, and you're so transparent, brother, and I appreciate you, and I love you.
And meeting you was I had to do that. I was not leaving Florida till I met you, and after I've met you now, I'm going back to Claremont, picking up my two dogs and all my stuff, and hooking up my camper, and in this rig that we've been sitting here doing this interview in, I'm going to head out. I'm going to Utah. And I want to meet as many of you people as possible. So get a hold of Zender and tell them.
Kansas City, baby.
Yep, Kansas City. That's what's where
Kansas City.
That's where we're all going to see each
other. We're all going to see there. You're going to meet Dwayne there May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Kansas City. Yep. Okay, look at our time. Can you believe 27 minutes has gone by?
Boy, we made it basically over a 30-minute video after you've edited it.
After I edited it, now it's even going to be longer. Yeah, that's right. When I edit, it gets longer. It's a miracle. I don't know how it happens. Like the loaves and the fishes. It's supposed to get shorter, but it doesn't. It gets longer, so I don't know how that happens. All right. Grace and peace to everyone, and signing off from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula.